भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 1, entitled The Advent of Lord Krishna, Introduction, text number 64. Etat kaṃsāya bhagavān ca saṃśabhītya nārada bhūmer Barayamananam Daityanam Cha Vadodyamam Etat Kangshaya Bhagavan Etat Kangshaya Bhagavan Cha Shashabhyeta Naradah Cha saṃśabhyeta nārada bhūmer bhārāyamānānam bhūmer bhārāyamānānam daityānaṃ ca virojamam daityānaṃ ca varojamam Etat kaṃsāya bhagavān Chāsa sabhita nādada Bhūmer bhārāya mānānam Daityānaṃ ca varojamam Etat kaṃsāya bhagavān Chāsaṃ sabhita nāradah Bhūmer bhārāya mānānam Daityānaṃ ca varojamam Tat kaṃsāya bhagavān Ca saṃśabhyeta nāradah Bhūmer bhārāya mānānam Daityānaṃ ca varojamam Ladies. Ca saṃśabhyeta nāradah Bhūmer bhārāya mānānam Daityānaṃ ca varojamam Etat, all these words about the Yadu family and Rishni family. Kaṃsāya, unto King Kaṃsa. Bhagavan, the most powerful representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Shashaṃsa, informed. Kaṃsa, who was in doubt. Abhyetya, after approaching him. Narada. The great sage Narada. Bhume. On the surface of the earth. Bharayamananam. Of those who were a burden. Daityanangcha. And of the demons. Varaujamam. The endeavor to kill. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Once the great saint Narada approached Kamsa and informed him of how the demoniac persons who were a great burden on the earth were going to be killed. Thus Kamsa was placed into great fear and doubt. Please repeat. Once the great saint Narada approached Kamsa and informed him of how the demoniac persons who were a great burden on the earth were going to be killed. Thus Kamsa was placed into great fear and doubt. Purport. It has already been discussed that Mother Earth implored Lord Brahma to give her relief from the distress created by the burdensome demons, and that Lord Brahma informed her that Lord Krishna himself was going to appear. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 4:8, Paritranaya saranam vinashaya cha duskritam dharma sangstarpanartaya sambhavami juge juge. Whenever there is a burden created by the demons, and whenever the innocent devotees are distressed by demoniac rulers, the Lord appears in due course of time to kill the demons with the assistance of his real representatives, who are technically called demigods. In the Upanishads, it is stated that the demigods are different parts of the Sri Vaishnava Godhead. As it is the duty of the parts of the body to serve the whole, it is the duty of Krishna's devotees to serve Krishna as he wants. Krishna's business is to kill the demons, and therefore this should be a devotee's business also. Because the people of Kali Yuga are fallen, however, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, out of kindness for them, did not bring any weapons to kill them. Rather, by spreading Krishna consciousness, love of Krishna, he wanted to kill their nefarious demoniac activities. This is the purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement. Unless the demoniac activities of the surface of the world are diminished or vanquished, no one can be happy. The program for the conditioned soul is fully described in Bhagavad Gita, and one simply has to follow these instructions to become happy. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has therefore prescribed Harinam, 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 Yav Kevalam, Palona Stevana, 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 Katyanyata. Let people chant the Hare Krishna mantra constantly, then their demoniac tendencies will be killed, and they will become first class devotees, happy in this life and in the next. Om Gyana Timidanda Syagyananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Manitam Jena Tasmai Sigurave Nama Kum Guru Devachalam Pangam Mangaya Tegirim Yadkipadam Maham Bande Sigurum Dina Taharanam. So we've been reading how Narada Muni has is well known for accelerating the appearances of the Lord. And this is another example of that. In order to have the Lord appear sooner than later, because the devotees were in distress, he took it upon himself, Prabhupada later explains, by Providence's arrangement. He approached Kamsa and again planted this doubt in his mind, and fear, for that matter, that because of the demoniac condition of society, the Lord would appear. And, of course, Narada Muni is, we know, one of the great Mahajans, great saints and sage, son of Lord Brahma, so he's highly respected, even by Kamsa. Not like some person that we might see sitting in a corner on Santa Monica Pier and with a little sign condemning everyone that either you straighten up or the Lord will take you to hell. There's plenty of that. There are so many persons who pride themselves in being empowered to speak or even go so far as to predict how the Lord will be coming, and if you don't surrender unto him, you won't be saved, etc., etc. You're going to hell. Reminds me of just like Rathyatra sometimes. These fellows, they come down in their cow uniforms and with their bullhorns and signs condemning everyone. Not that sort of silliness. But Narada Muni is, when he speaks, it's we take it as fact. So, and Srila Prabhupada points out here, first of all, in the purport, that as was explained earlier, Mother Earth was feeling some great distress, distress created by all of the demons. So she approached Lord Brahma, and to make a long story short, the Lord was informed or prayed to by Lord Brahma, and the Lord informed everyone that he was going to appear himself. As he says in Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada very nicely quotes here this wonderful verse, Paritanaya Sarinam Vinashaya Chaduskritam, that the Lord appears whenever the demons create too much of a distressful condition in society, that he appears himself. And, of course, he has his own schedule, but in the Vedic literatures it's described how the Lord appears in every age for specific pastime. He wants to engage in certain sporting activities. So even sometimes he wants to show his activities of fighting. So he makes arrangement that certain persons, certain souls take on the position of adversaries. And the Lord likes to play in such ways. Who can imagine, who can understand how Krishna is so fantastic? The Lord is so playful that he likes to engage in all sorts of activities, even fighting. And then he brings his assistants. He asks his representatives, as Srila Prabhupada points out here, the demigods to also take part in these pastimes, as they are representatives of him. They're coming from him, as he says in Bhagavad Gita, Ahang Adir Hi Devanam Maharshi Nacha Sarvashaha. Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita that He's the source of these demigods and great sages. So, being their source, whenever he likes, he can command them to come and participate in these sporting activities. Who better than his devotees? They can also be very good sports. And engage in very incredible pastimes. And assist him. And Srila Prabhupada gives a very nice example here. As it is the duty of the parts of the body to serve the whole. The other day, Srila Prabhupada was giving the story of how, or the analogy of how the senses went on strike. Right? We've heard that story, that analogy many times. It's very amusing how these senses were on strike because the stomach, all it does is simply sit there and eat. Whereas the senses are doing everything. The hands are working, the feet are working, the eyes are working, the tongue is working, the nose is working. But the stomach, all it does is sit there and eat. So they went on strike. And, of course, we know how that all happened. The senses became weak because they refused to feed the stomach and finally realized that their service is to be engaged in a service to the stomach. And by that, everyone is satisfied. So similarly, by serving the personality of Godhead, the living entities become happy. Right? They're all of the necessities of life are provided. So it's the duty of the devotees of the Lord to serve Krishna as he wants, just as it's the duty of the senses to serve as the stomach needs or requires. Srila Prabhupada gives the very nice example here how just as Krishna, his business is to kill the demons, therefore, it should be a devotee's business also. Just as someone who takes on that killing business, of course, we don't mean this in a negative way, because typically when we think of killing, we associate it with some terrorist or something. But just as a person who's engaged in that sort of business has to become very expert, right? They have to go through all sorts of training. They have to become very expert. They have to be very sensitive. They also have to be very determined and knowledgeable for that reason, for that matter. So also, Krishna, of course, is most compassionate. He's the most expert in everything. So when he engages in this killing business, supremely powerful demons like Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakasipu, who are very careful to try and protect their position, were defeated by Krishna's greater expertise. So also the devotees have to become very expert and determined and compassionate, for that matter, in assisting the Lord in His mission to, as we're experiencing in this day and age, the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as Prabhupada points out later on this purport. The Lord didn't come in this age with weapons, but instead He's come with the Sankirtan movement. So the devotees also have to become very expert and compassionate and very determined to present Krishna consciousness and help the conditioned souls and kill their nefarious and demoniac activities. Or rid them of those nefarious and demoniac activities. And whenever and wherever, for that matter, as Krishna says, yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata, whenever and wherever. So sometimes we have to go to challenging places to try and spread Krishna consciousness. Even amongst so many sometimes what appears to be pious people or intelligent people, because they're confused as to the real purpose of the personality of Godhead or a real knowledge of the personality of Godhead, the devotee has to be very expert in presenting Krishna consciousness. Because, as Srila Prabhupada points out here, the people in the age of Kali are very fallen. And they're full of so many bad qualities, as the Bhagavatam explains. Srila Prabhupada elaborates on this further in the Bhagavatam, where he describes how in the Kali Yuga, the age is symptomized by lusty and harsh speech. It's a fact. You can see it. The general conversation amongst people nowadays is either some lusty conversation. There, even the old man, he's talking with another, and they're talking about their lusty desires or their fantasies, or they're engaged in some sort of harsh speech. We see it every day. You don't have to go too far. Even, unfortunately, sometimes it happens in spiritual circles. But the age is symptomized by lusty and harsh conversation. People are just very crude, and they don't have it. There's no qualms. Even you see in the politicians, their so-called leaders, who the voters are supposed to pick from. None of them have anything intelligent to say. All they can do is criticize each other about how they eat, about their wives, about this thing or that thing, some mundane and totally irrelevant point. But again, this is the condition of society. Srila Prabhupada points out that the country is also, all countries, are overrun by rogues and thieves. Everywhere, in all levels, whether it's in the business world, whether it's in the religious or educational institutions, it's all overrun by rogues and thieves, whose only business is to make their own position very comfortable. And it takes some whistleblower or some peon in the mail room to discover what's going on, and then blow the whistle on everybody. And then he's immediately a target. He should go under the witness protection. So what can be done? The countries are all overrun by such persons. There's no safe or secure position. And no one says anything because everyone's in, what do they say? We're all in bed together. We're all doing the same thing. So why should I say something about this person? Because I'm also getting my share, or although I'd like to get more. And I won't say anything now because maybe so-and-so will give me more. And even unfortunately, it happens in devotional circles. So overrun by rogues and thieves. And if there is any spiritual knowledge, spiritual thought, it's spoiled by atheistic interpretations. They take, for instance, Krishna's words in Bhagavad Gita and twist it all around. Do away with Krishna. Do away with what he is asking, that you surrender onto me or you engage in devotional service. Instead, it's just some impersonal, atheistic, practically speaking, mumbo jumbo. You can't figure it out. And you're just simply attracted to some so-called charismatic person with no knowledge. And even you speak to the followers, they have no idea what's going on. But they're here because, it's cool. It's a cool thing to do. Let's belong to a yoga society or let's belong to some spiritual group. And during intermission, we'll have a smoke. It's spoiled totally. So there's no concept of a real spiritual knowledge. And then Srila Prabhupada points out that the kings or the leaders, beg their subjects, just like now we're seeing how the leaders of the world. And of course, until they get into a real secure position, no one can kick them out. They beg their subjects, who are overpowered by their genitals and their bellies. The citizenry is low class, and they're begging these low class persons for their vote or for their support, for whatever. So again, it's a symptom of the age. The leaders, the so-called leaders, they're simply servants of ignorant people. And then the ignorant people are upset because, why is this ignorant leader in there? You put him in there. Figure it out. It's a no-brainer. Unfortunately, people don't have brains. And again, it's a symptom of the age. And then Prabhupada points out that the mendicants are householders. Instead of becoming tapasvis or renounced, they engage in grihamedi activities. They fall down from their positions of so-called superiority, as the Bhagavatam points out. They're imagined position of superiority, their so-called knowledge and their renunciation and their positions, and they fall down into a grihamedi life, engage pound, shilling, and pence type of business. They're no longer mendicants where they travel around and they give spiritual knowledge. There's nothing there. They just cruise around in their motorhomes and once in a while pop in for dinner. It's a symptom of the age. The mendicants are no longer qualified to give any spiritual knowledge. And the ascetics, they live in town. They don't live in the forests any longer or live in the mountains, live in the secluded, sanctified places. They have to come to town and go to people's homes and make a show of spirituality. Light a little fire, light a little incense, and hurry up and get paid. This is their business. They're no longer renunciates, devoted to a spiritual advancement. Instead, it's all, so let's live in the city, and of course, what can you do? The countryside is contaminated as well. It's a very difficult situation. Where can you go and not have to deal with some painful situation? Seeing the pastures used for grazing beef cows or other foods, which are unmentionable. So, what can be done? And the people, of course, Srila Prabhupada points out, they don't, they're in pretty bad shape also. they're short and gluttonous. America's now, of course, the world now, it's advancing very nicely, is suffering from the gluttonous attitude of modern society, modern living. People are not only gluttonous for food, they're totally obese and suffering from all sorts of diseases, but they're gluttonous for material sense objects. They need houses, they need fancy this and that, and more of it and more of that. I need more money, it's not enough, I need to have more, and it goes on and on and on. And because of their sinful activities, they're diminishing in so many different ways. In previous ages, we read how the Lord Krishna, even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, recently, their statures were quite tall, large, beautiful bodies. But now it's quite the opposite. Everything is diminishing, and it's no longer attractive. Even you try to pull it or pump it full of steroids and so many other things, there's no saving it. Again, it's the influence of the age. As the age progresses, these things get worse and worse. And thieves, Srila Prabhupada points out, are respected. If you're a good cheater, people love it. They'll vote for you. They'll make a hero out of you. Right? And they sing, they create folk songs about these great heroes who were pushing drugs and or stealing money. Or they make movies about it, right? They put the big famous movie stars, they put four or five of them together, and they glorify them how they're able to rob a bank that's never been robbed. it's so ridiculous. It's amusing. It's comical. They're glorified for it. It's amazing. People are glorified for being a thief. It's amazing. How confused is the age? I don't know. I find it pretty confusing. I don't know about anybody else. But it's totally confusing. And they're respected. And yet the people, as Srila Prabhupada points out, are totally disgruntled. Why? He says, because they're haunted by ghosts. They're haunted by ghosts. Therefore, they're disgruntled in every aspect of life. Ghosts of different desires, or other living beings for that matter, because they're in such a dirty condition, they're taken over by some other living being. But But they're haunted by so many ghostly desires. Therefore, they're always disgruntled. They're never happy. I never have enough money. I never have enough of this. I never have enough of that. Of course, when you're on the platform of sense gratification, you're never satisfied. It's always a ghostly haunted situation. So people are ghostly haunted. You see them in their cars. They're looking so frantic. Or they're walking along the streets or along the boardwalk. You can see it. They're disturbed in so many different ways. Haunted by so many different desires. Therefore, they're always disgruntled. As soon as you talk to them, what? What do you want? Leave me alone. Don't look at me. You want some of this? It happens all the time. It's amazing. It's amazing. The whole age is it's such a condition. It's outrageous. I was listening to one news guy, and he was talking about how he was driving along in his car, and something happened that some person was standing and. No, they were on a bicycle. And they were driving in the middle of the street purposely. And cars were honking, you know, the person, you know, can you kindly move over? And, you know, the guy was just an arrogant personality. And so this fellow, he drives up next to him and he looks at him just wondering, bewildered, what are you doing? You know, can you be a little courteous or something? And the guy just looks at him with an attitude, and the guy in the car just started laughing at him. Right? Sometimes that happens. Instead of reacting to somebody, you see how stupid they are, all you can do is laugh. And so that infuriated the guy more on the bicycle. He got even more infuriated. So he stopped at a light, and the guy pulls up to the corner, and the guy on the bicycle pulls out this amulet. And the guy in the car is wondering, he starts laughing even more. Because what are you implying here with this amulet, that you're going to strike me dead, or you belong to a particular gang? And the whole exchange was just totally silly and unnecessary. So again, people are so disgruntled, and at the smallest provocation, they react, and something has to happen. And finally, Srila Prabhupada points out that those who are devotees of women, when rebuked, they simply scratch their heads. So men or women, it doesn't matter. The point is that people are acting in so many different low-class ways. And when they're rebuked on it, what is the reaction? Well, what do you mean? What did I do? Well, what's the problem? So, what to do? We're living in an age that is totally unnatural. Srila Prabhupada points out here that the Lord Himself, out of a kindness for them, appeared in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to give the Sankirtan movement, to present the Sankirtan movement. That is the purpose of the Krishna conscious movement, Srila Prabhupada points out here. Unless the demoniac activities of the service of the world are diminished or vanquished, no one can be happy. And the program for the conditioned soul is fully described in Bhagavad Gita, right? Saha Yajna Prajashrishta Purovacha Prajapati. Krishna explains very nicely in Bhagavad Gita that we can be happy by this yagya, this performance of Sankirtan yagya. It's so important. It's so vital in sharing it with persons, with the people in general. And in order to share it, one has to become very expert, as Srila Prabhupada, as we pointed out earlier, that Krishna's business is to kill the demons. Therefore, this should be the devotee's business also. The devotees have to become very expert, just like Krishna. So, this is described very nicely by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, he says, let the people chant the Hare Krishna mantra constantly. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Then they'll be happy in this life and the next. So we'll end that. Any questions or comments? Srila Prabhupada ki jai.